So over the last couple of weeks, we've discussed the distinction between big church and little church. And we talked about big church. Big C church is the universal church made up of all believers. And that little C church is the local church of believers in that local area, that local New Testament church. And we define what makes a church a New Testament local church. We define that. What makes a church a church? Because there's folks out there now, there's churches, churches out there now that would claim that they're a church, they're a Christian church, and they're not. Based upon the criteria we looked at, they're not. Whether it's they don't have biblically qualified elders, or they're not observing the ordinances, or whatever aspect of that, they don't have a born again membership. They don't adhere to biblical baptism. Whatever it may be, if they're not adhering to the things that the scriptures define as a New Testament church, then they're not a church. We are a local New Testament church. That's all our desire is to be. Now listen, we're Southern Baptist, but I'm not concerned with being Southern Baptist. I'm not Baptist just because I want to be Baptist. I'm Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine is closest, is the most correct. If I believe someone else was more right in the way we interpret scripture and function in that way, that's where I would be. But we want to be a biblical church, a New Testament Bible church. And that's the goal of us as a church. Now, the last week we looked at the topic of whether church membership is scriptural or not. So if you're going to have a church, then the question becomes, who makes up the church and who should be a part of that? Now, so are the people that are here, is everybody that just shows up, are they a member, or is there an actual formal membership, and is that biblical? So we looked at that, and I'm fully convinced that to have a designated church membership, where we're identifying who is and who is not members of that church, I believe it's absolutely biblical. I don't believe it's unbiblical to do that, to say the very least, but I believe it's biblical to do that. So we're on, you know, as we progress through that then, so we've looked at, we have a church membership. What's the next step in that? So what we're going to look at this morning is roles within the church roles. What are the roles of then that membership? How does that, what's the next step as we, now we've identified what churches are, we've got the local church, now what makes a local church, we have that local church, then do we have membership, now we have membership, now within that membership, what are the roles within the membership? Now, so there are classifications of membership in the church. Not everyone has the same passions, talents, experiences of life, personality, or gifting from the Lord. Now, that's obvious. And while each of us is different and unique in how God has created and shaped us, we're also all needed in the body. We're unique. Every person in this room is unique. And I love that. I don't, you know, there's things we want to be uniform in. There's things we want unity in. But man, I love that when you look around this room, we look different. We don't all look the same. And we're all, when you get in deeper to spiritual gifting, it's all different. When you look into our personalities, they're different. Our experiences of life, they're as unique as each individual in the room. So we're unique in that. And yet, we're all needed within this body. There's not one that's all important. And you're not important. No, this one's important. You're not important. Everyone is important. And we want to look at that this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So when we talk about the body of Christ, the body of Christ is made up of many. It's those believers. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, those are rhetorical questions. We know the answer to that is no, right? So if my hand says, well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of the body, does that mean the hand is not a part of the body? No, that hand is a part of the body, just like the eye is a part of the body, the ear is a part of the body, my left knee is a part of the body, my big toe is a part of the body. All of the body, every part is an important part of the body. You got any part of your body you don't want? All right, that may be, all right, I got a little extra weight, I'd be all right with getting rid of. All right, but you get what I'm saying, right? I don't want to give up an arm. I don't even want to give up my little toe. You know, if you was going to give up something, right, you'd go, I'd give up the little toe. But you know, that little toe is important for balance. Very important. You lose your little toe, you got to learn to walk again. You got to learn to balance again. So everything is important. Every part of the body is important. And it's the same in church. We all are a part of the body, and everyone is important. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smell? Where would be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. So the idea here is this. Even in this local church, who's here and why are you here? I don't believe it's by accident. I believe that God has ordained that you be here at this time, in this place, in this season. The elders, we've talked about this, especially before Pastor Aaron came on. John and Raymond and I would talk a lot about just what a blessing it is to serve in this way, at this time, in this place, with what God is doing. Amen, John? It's just a blessing. It's an encouragement. But we're all here because God has put us here. You know, we were serving in Indiana. We were happy in Indiana. We were in a great church, had a good ministry there, and the Lord brought FCA across my path. It was like He fired a missile across the bow of the ship and got my attention with that, and the Lord started speaking to my heart, and next thing I know, we're coming to Florida to do FCA. And we do FCA for about 3 years, and then I get a call about coming down here to fill in for a Sunday. And the next thing I know, fast forward just a few months, and God's called me here as pastor. Now, I don't believe that was an accident. And I don't believe us coming to Florida to do FCA was an accident. I believe God used that to get us here, to get us here. And I believe with all my heart, this is exactly where we were supposed to be. I came here and it was like putting on those old pair of shoes that are broke in. They just feel right. We put those on, they just feel good. It was the same way when we came here. This just felt right. This was a great place to be, and you're a great church to serve this congregation. It's just a blessing. But and your story is no different than mine. God has brought you here through whatever circumstances, how He moved in that. The Lord Jesus brought you here, and you're here for a reason. You're a part of this body. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Listen, what does it say? The members of the body should care for one another, and it should be the same care for one another. Look, if somebody's a part of this body, we should love on them. We should care for them. And it shouldn't be, a lot of times here's what we function in. We function in deep, we get very relational. So I'm really close to Harry. So Harry has a need, so I want to help Harry. Or I see Harry struggling with something, I want to encourage Harry. But what I can't do it just because I do it because I like Harry, but Harry's a part of the body, I ought to do that. But Miss Linda, Miss Linda, I don't even really like Miss Linda. She's just not a likable. She's just a grumpy person. I'm being facetious. I told her that when they came in, her and Miss Jeannie came in, I said, here come two of the coolest people in the church walking in together. But Miss Linda, let's say I don't know Miss Linda real well, but I find out about a need that she has. Should I be any more concerned about helping her or encouraging her or being a blessing to her than him to Harry? No. The idea here is we're all part of the body, and we should be reaching out and helping each other. If we're in this body together, we should be ministering to each other, loving each other. And so, same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So you are the body of Christ, yet you are members individually, which means you do have your part to play. You've got your part in this, but you're a part of the whole, of the body here, of what God is doing here in Geneva through First Baptist Geneva. So we are all different and all necessary to make up the body of Christ. And there are different roles within the body for the purpose of building up, strengthening, growing the body of Christ. So we want to look at, if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to look at some passages here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So God himself has given some to fill these roles within the body of Christ. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, why is that? So verse 12 says and gives us, there's three things we're going to see. First is for the equipping of the saints. So why are there pastors and teachers within the church? What are those roles in the church for, in the body for? What's the role of the elders and the pastors and the teachers in the church? It is for the equipping of the saints. You're the saints, that all of us together, it is for the equipping, to equip you, to prepare you. Well, what am I being equipped for? What am I being prepared for? What is that? Well, the verse continues, for the work of ministry. What are you here to do? It's not just here so you can come and check the box and go, hey, glory, glory, I was in church. Or to have your emotion stroke because, boy, I love those songs we do. It's really exciting. So I can get emotional and feel happy about that and all that. And I go home and I feel good for the week. Now, those are good things. We come and we worship the Lord. We should be emotionally engaged in that, right? But that's not the whole purpose of this. It's not about me. So it's for the equipping of the saints. John's role, Elder Pastor John, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Conrad, our goal, our role, and our teachers, our roles are to equip. So we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. All right, so there's a lot of work of the ministry. Some of you should be stepping up to be teachers. Some of you should be stepping up to be in children's ministry. There's a lot of different things and places to step up, but you should be involved in a ministry somewhere because you should be being equipped for the work of the ministry. Now, why? Why in the work of the ministry? Well, the verse continues, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you see right here, church ain't about me. It ain't about me. Church, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. And you're here for me. You're here for the next person. We're all here to help each other. We as leaders, we're going to equip you. What are we equipping you for? For the work of the ministry. And as you're doing the ministry, what are you doing? You're edifying the body of Christ. Well, what does that mean, edifying? It means building up. It means making stronger. So our goal is to help each other grow in Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's not to pacify you. I'm not here to make you feel good about yourself and your sin. Man, we're in a thing of that, this thing today of it's all about people's self-esteem and all of that. Man, I grew up in the 80s. Self-esteem? Nobody cared about self-esteem. Rub some dirt on it. I don't care what it is, emotionally, spiritually. Rub some dirt on it. Quit your whining and get up and go. A lot of people are shaking their head. But it's not. I'm not here to just make you feel good. Oh, well, you got this sin in your life. Oh, well, that you know what? God just loves you. You just keep in, you know, God loves you just like you are. Yeah, he does love you just like you are. But he don't want you to stay like you are. And we're to encourage each other. We're to build each other up. I'm to help you grow. Randy Dixon, I hope something I've done has helped you grow in your walk with Christ. And I know it has because you've shared that with me. He's testified to that to me. That Pastor Conrad, you've done some things, you've shared some things with me that have helped me to grow. But we ought to all be involved in that. You can all have a part of that, of helping someone to grow. Helping someone be more like Jesus. That's the goal. It's what this is all about. So we build up the body of Christ. And so you're edified for the work of the ministry. It may be ministry right here, maybe ministry outside. And you go out and you share the gospel with someone who's lost out there and they get saved. And guess what just happened? The body got stronger because there's another person in there. There's another soul in the body. And then that person gets in church and they begin to grow. Wade is growing in his faith. He's getting stronger, and as Wade grows in his faith, guess what happens? The body gets stronger. As each one of us put down deeper roots in our faith, the body gets stronger. As we encourage each other into good works, into faithfulness in the service of God, the body gets stronger. That's what we're here for. So when we encourage you and we exhort you to be involved somewhere, serve somewhere, it's so that you're doing what you should be doing, because you're going to grow as you serve. That's a part of you growing. As you serve other people, as you quit just being worried about me, consumer Christianity. Well, the music, no, I didn't like the music today. I didn't like the song selection. It wasn't my cup of tea. Okay. All right, sorry, we didn't. We should, Pastor Aaron, whoever that is, make sure you get their choice of songs each week, so we're going to have their selection, their greatest hits each Sunday. It's not what it's about. We come and we worship God and we serve each other. And we grow like that. And then as we grow and as we're serving and ministering, we're helping other people, they grow. Do you see this? The body grows. That's the purpose of all of this. Man, some people are frustrated in church. All over America. And that's why church is having a problem today. Because a lot of churches, it's all about entertainment. You know why? Because that's what some people want. And when the church becomes about entertainment, and that's what people want, then it's just going to be more and more and more and more and more about entertainment. And you get less and less and less content, less truth. And it's no longer about growing in our faith and being more like Jesus. It's just, can we entertain them enough to keep them? Right? And we're not going to be that. We're not going to be that. That's not what Scripture says for us to do. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, look, speaking the truth in love. Look, love isn't this sappy thing we've made it today. Man, our country is all about love, love, love. And love is just accepting people in whatever they want to, whatever lifestyle they want to be in. It's affirming that. Folks, that's not love. If I affirm a sinful lifestyle, I find out, man, Rav Shon is stealing from his business. Rav Shon's stealing. He's embezzling money. And I know that, and I don't confront Rav Shon on that. And I don't say Rav Shon, he's not. Okay, y'all get this right. He's not that I know of. But if I know that and I don't confront that and I don't say, Rav Shon, you know that's wrong. You know that's sin. Here's what the Scriptures say. Now, I don't have to go at him with guns blazing and be a hateful person. I can speak, but I speak the truth in love. That in love in there is from a place of love. It's from a place of caring. Number one, caring about the Lord, caring about truth, but also caring about Him, caring about you. So sometimes when you deal with situations, people think you're mad at them. People think, man, you're judging me or whatever. No, I'm speaking the truth in love because I want to help you. I want you to see the error of your way and correct it so that you can be right with God. You can walk right with God. We should all be doing that, speaking the truth in love. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. You hear this, right? So we're all individual. We're all part of the body of Christ here, but we're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every part of the body has a part to play. Every part. I can't see the tendon in my knee, but I guarantee you I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it's doing its job. Is Jay still in here? No. All right. Jay made a great observation. It was, we were talking, he was come to me after, before the service started, and we were talking about this thing of serving. And you know, Susan and Dave Stewart, you see them, right? Y'all know who Dave and Susan are. Susan serves, and people see Susan serving. And she's got a servant heart, man. She wants to just give. But you see her serving. But what people don't see a lot of times is Dave behind the scenes hauling out the trash, carrying out the pizza boxes. Him's doing the, you know, Dave does the stuff nobody sees unless you're looking, unless you're paying attention. You know, he's doing those things. Everybody's got a part to play in the body. Every one of us has a part to play. Each one, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, we as the body, as we do our role, as we fill our role, as we do the things God has called us to do, we serve within the body. You know what it does? It helps the body grow. We're helping ourselves because I'm a part of the body. We're growing. We're getting stronger. We're being built up. So this is what you see here is God has given to us some clear understanding of how the body should function. That we're all in this together, the body collectively, but we're individual and we each have a role to play in that. Because everybody can't do everything. Look, this morning, I already mentioned Pastor Aaron came in, the air's off, and man, there's a lot of things that could be off. In fact, I think if we could be without lights and still have the air, we'd be a lot better, right? We'd make that trade in a heartbeat. I could scream, I don't have a mic. Y'all, I can be loud enough, but give us the air, right? So of all the things to be out, the air's the one where I go, oh man. And here it is, June. Gina said it was 97% humidity this morning. 97%. So it's not the temperature, so much that mugginess. And so we came in here, we're about halfway in the service. I'm sitting down here, we had the video playing. I'm sitting down here going, all right, the coat's got to come off. I don't like the coat to come off. I like to wear the coat. It's kind of a security thing for me. It's not like a legalistic thing. Here, sin, love covers a multitude of sin, right? Right? A coat covers a multitude of ugly. So, you know, it just, you look better with a coat on. Let me just say that. All right, there's two reasons I don't wear shorts. My left leg and my right leg. All right, so there's a reason you cover up sometimes. All right, so, but I was going, the coat's got to come off. Well, here comes Scott. Scott comes down, he's messing with that. Next thing I know, he goes, it's up. So Scott Jumper got the air going back again. I couldn't do that. I don't know how to do that. I'd go over there and it ain't working. You know, I'd go outside and kick it. And it ain't working. You know, that didn't do it. So everybody's got a part to play. And I'm thankful for that. So we're talking about members, all right? So now we're talking about the membership, the body. So in the Bible, church members were called disciples and followers. The word disciple is defined as a follower, pupil, or student. So obviously the word follower is defined as one who follows another. And so this is an umbrella term applying to everyone in the church, members, pastors, elders, deacons, everyone. We're all followers of Jesus. We're all disciples of the Lord. So what is the process at First Baptist Geneva for those who desire to join the church? Some of you may be sitting here and going, you know what, I want to join the church, but what do y'all do? Do I come forward when you have the invitation? What do I do? So here's what you would do. You want to join the church. First thing you do is express interest. You let me know, or you let our church staff know, or you call the church office. You let someone know, I'm interested in joining the church. Well, several times a year, we do a class called Discovering Church Membership. And we would invite you to come and take that class. We require people to take the class if you want to join. You take the class, you don't want to join, there's no obligation. But in that class, we want to get you up to speed on what we believe as a church. We're going to talk about salvation, baptism, the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about how we're structured. We're going to talk about our history. So we're going to talk about our leadership. We're going to talk about vision of where we're going, missions, how we do missions, how we're affiliated as a church, all of that. So we're going to give you as much information as possible. Because here's what I knew. In the past, I'd been in churches, been there 2 years, and there were things I didn't know about the church. I'd hear some go, I didn't know that. It would have been nice to have known, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago. So we want to get you up to speed as quickly as possible on the church. So then when you come out of there, you've got a good understanding of who we are. There's some other reasons as well. We're in a day and time where with homosexuality and transgenderism and different things, you have to put that out there up front, communicate that. This is what we believe. This is where we stand as a church. We don't have women pastors. We don't let homosexuals serve in our ministry. We don't let people who are in open, blatant sin serving our ministries, okay? So we wouldn't let that slide either, all right? So we want you to know who we are. And so you would take the class, and then you say, yes, I still want to join the church. And so then you would meet with me, you meet with the pastor or one of our pastors. That's going to have to change in time as we continue to grow. And so here's what you got to have. You got to have a clear testimony of salvation, because again, church member is, you have to be born again to be a church member. So there has to be a clear salvation testimony. You have to be scripturally baptized, which is after salvation, by immersion, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's that simple. And so if you haven't been baptized, you can get baptized. We can arrange that. So then you followed those steps, and now you want to join. You can come three ways. You can come, I want to say, all right, I want to join, but I need to be baptized. So you can come by baptism. You can come by statement of faith. I'm a believer. Here's my testimony. And it's a clear testimony. And then you've been scripturally baptized after salvation. All of that's been done. And you come forward and we go, then you can come with that with a statement of faith. Or you can come and say, I want to come by a transfer of letter from another church, like-minded church. Okay? So can I tell you this? A lot of churches don't do that anymore. We've sent for letters for churches, and they go, we don't even keep up with that. We don't do it that way anymore. It's just not done as commonly. There's a letter right now in Jackie's desk. Someone had joined, and we sent for their letter, and it came back and says, yes, they were members in good standing. The Rodens there. They were members in good standing and said, well, we wholeheartedly recommend them. We're glad they're there and receive them into fellowship, all that. So we can, there's these ways. So then, so that's how we would present that. But then it's not my job to say you're a member or not. Then I bring in, I present all that information. I do all my due diligence to present to you that person who wants to join the church. And then the church has to either affirm or deny through a vote whether they receive or deny that person membership. That's how our process works. So this morning, if you're like, I want to be a member of the church, let me know. We'll get a class schedule. Now, there's probably minor differences. I shared this earlier. There are churches where, and why do we do that process? Because I think in some churches, church membership is too easy. Somebody shows up at a church, and they're like, I like it here. They walk down the aisle during the invitation, say, preacher, I want to join the church. Are you saved? Yeah. Have you been baptized? Yeah. All right, well, hey, folks, this guy, so-and-so here, he's been saved, he's been baptized, y'all want to vote him in membership. And there are churches all over America today that will do that. That's simple. Y'all think I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating a bit. There are churches that would receive somebody in that simple. No checking, no talking, no counseling, not knowing anything about the testimony, where they'd been to church, any of that, and receive them into church membership. Now, why is that a problem, preacher? We should love people, right? They love Jesus. They want to come be a part of our church. Why would that be a problem? Because they're supposed to be, your church membership is supposed to be born again. Why are churches fighting all over America today? Because you have people in church who have been allowed in membership who are not saved. They don't have a standard of that. Now you have, you're unequally yoked within the church. You have, what place does light have with darkness? And wonder why there's disunity, because saved people are there with lost people. And then the lost people are fighting back when you preach righteousness, and they get mad because they don't like it, because they're walking in darkness and they don't want to be confronted with that. Do you see the problem? That's the problem. And so that's the scriptures have made it clear that there's all of this is to safeguard the church, the body of Christ, as we work together to do his work. All right, so that's members. We're all, if you're a member, we're all a part of the body, right? We're all part of the body then. And so then the next thing is, we're going to look at a couple of offices. So within the church, there are two offices. The first we're going to look at is deacons. There's the office of deacon. Now, the word deacon, give you a little history here. So the word deacon, it's actually, that's not a translation of a word it's not a translation, it's a transliteration. And if you know what that means, it means the word is diakonos. In the Greek, it's diakonos. And so diakonos means servant or minister. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But when you see the word deacon in the scriptures, it's not a word that's been translated. It's a word that's been transliterated. So they've just taken the word deacon, diakonos, which means servant minister, and brought that word over, deacon, in the scriptures. So here's what the word means. Diakonos means to run on errands. It's an attendant. So an example of that would be like a waiter serving tables. So you get the idea. A deacon is a servant, is a minister, someone who is waiting on other people, someone who's taking out the trash, someone who's waiting tables, cleaning up after others. It's someone who's teaching a class. It's serving. It's being a minister. It's doing those things. So that's what the word means. A deacon means servant or minister. And so again, it's a transliteration, not a translation. There are places where that word is translated. And so when you if you'll search it, you can go find the word deacon. If you've got a word search in your program, your Bible program, you can search that, find the word deacon, and then get that word, and now search that word in different places throughout the scriptures. So I did that, and what I found is that in places it's not translated deacon, it's translated, it's not just transliterated, it's actually translated as servant or minister, and you'll find that I found it 31 times in 29 New Testament verses. So it's not always translated deacon. It's translated, the word diakonos, most of the time, is translated servant or minister, okay? So in reality, what we have with diakonos is servants. And I would say this, while we have the office of deacon, every one of us in the body of Christ should be a diakonos. Every one of us, male, female, every church member should be a diakonos. You should be a deacon. You should be a servant minister. That's what you should be doing. Now, most Baptist churches recognize deacon as an office in the church. And therefore, men are selected from within the church membership to serve in that role. That's how that's done. So deacons are not understand this, deacons are not a board of directors or a ruling body. Let me just ask, how many of you have been in a church where the deacons kind of ran things? Been in church, a lot of you, where the deacons were basically, man, they were like in charge. I'm going to talk more about that, but that's not the role of deacons. They're not a board of directors, not a ruling board. Deacons are official servants of the church. So who should be a deacon? So here's the deal: we want to add some deacons to our church. We've already talked about deacons are servants. We want to add some deacons. Who maybe should we look to within our church? Right, they should be a member, but who should we look to? To find deacons to bring into that position. Who would we look to? What are we looking for? The bank manager? Business president? Somebody shows up once a month? Who are we looking for? What maybe quality should I be looking for in that person to be recognized as a deacon in the church, as a servant? What quality? Am I making this too hard? I must be. Servant. Maybe they should be a servant. Right? Does that make sense? If we're going to recognize them as a servant, because that's what a deacon is a servant, that they should come from people who are servants, who have a servant heart. Can I tell you, look, when we ordain, when we bring someone in as an elder pastor, pastor, elder, or as a deacon, we're not going to put on them and make them be that. All we're doing is recognizing what God has already done. We're recognizing what they are. So when God calls somebody, you know, it's not like this. You go, hey, we need an elder. You know, we need another elder. So, I like Joe. I like Joe Blow, so let's bring Joe Blow in and we'll elect him as an elder and then we'll give him the responsibilities that he can grow into it. It's not how that should work. If we're talking about pastor or elder and you use those terms interchangeably, what you're going to do is you're going to recognize what God has already done in someone's life. Amen? That's what we're doing. So when we're going to recognize a deacon, I mean, we got some young men in our church. I say young men, they're getting a little older now. We're going to have to move fast if we're going to have these young men deaconing. They're going to be old men deaconing. But we got some guys in our church that need to be, that we probably need to do something and get some guys in there to deacon. Because we got guys that they are servants and they would be great in that deacon role, and it would help them to grow and help our body, strengthen our body. So does that make sense? Does that make sense there? You're recognizing what God has already done. You recognize an elder and a pastor, you're saying, we see what God's doing in your life. When you recognize a deacon, you're saying, I see what God's doing in your life. And then you're pulling from those people. So in fact, they're not a board. Talked about that, and they're not a board at all. And that concept comes from the world and has been brought into the church. So you won't find a board in the scriptures. So many agree that official deacons, servant leaders, were first called out to serve the church in Acts chapter 6. And if you've read that and you're familiar with that, you know what I'm talking about there. There were certain there were people who claimed they'd been neglected. The Grecian widows were claiming that they were being neglected. They weren't being served the things that they should be served in the daily care. So there were some complaints there. So the elders said, listen, we're already serving tables and we can't do all this. It was growing. The church was growing. There's too much for us to do. So they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to church, you select. They gave some criteria and it was all about spiritual qualities and character. You select from among you, among the church here, men that meet these criteria. You select them, and then what we're going to do as elders, we'll authorize them to lead that. They'll be servant leaders, they'll be deacons, they'll be servants over that area, and it takes the burden off of the elders, who then can spend the time studying and praying and ministering the Word of God the way God has called them to do. So that's the role then. And so because of this need, the apostles, not willing to leave their spiritual responsibilities, instructed the church to select these men, and they selected the men, and then they authorized them to do that work. And so from this, we observe the work of these specific servants. So when we're talking about deacons, here's what we're talking about their job is. It is to serve the Lord and the church by taking on responsibilities, servant leadership that frees up the pastor's elders. That's really what the role of a deacon is. They serve under the oversight of the church elders. Much like Moses' helpers lifted his arms as he tired, so deacons relieve the pastor elders from physical needs so that the ministers can attend to the scriptures and pray and the spiritual needs within the church. So deacons are to look out for the church physically. So church members, the deacons are looking out for you. They're going to watch after you. They're looking into the lives of our widows. They're looking at orphans. Are there physical needs? Are there financial needs? Listen, if you have a need, and you're a part of this church and you have a need, you should let someone know. If you cannot get out and pick up branches that after the storm and your yard's a mess and you go, I would love to do it, but I can't do it, then get in touch with one of our deacons. Call the office. Get him in touch with the deacon. And we can put together some guys, get over there and clean your house up and help you with that. We're here to serve, and we want to serve. That's the physical part of that. They're looking after the physical needs of you. And they'll meet spiritual needs. You need an arm around you. You need prayer. You need some encouragement. They'll do that. But they'll also then find out about spiritual needs and direct that to the elders and the pastors so that then we can minister to the spiritual need if it's something further. So they do that. They also look after our church buildings. Patrick probably was in the first service. He's probably not in here now. But Patrick does a lot. Chris Sheets does a lot with our buildings. All of our guys contribute. But man, they're watching after that all the time, making sure the buildings are clean. Do you like having clean buildings, well-maintained buildings? Right? So our guys, they're doing that. That's their role. That's what they're trying to do. So if you have a need, let us know, okay? Sadly, though, in many churches, a tradition has been established which has placed deacons in a position never intended for their office. So deacons do not control the pulpit. Deacons are not over the pastor. They don't oversee the pastor. They don't make preaching arrangements. It's not their job to be the guard dog for the church in spiritual matters. Let me say this, any more than it is anyone else's responsibility. Because we all have a responsibility to watch and make sure that we're preaching the truth of the Word of God. But it's not the deacons are not this special group that's there to be the watchdogs over everything. And you see what I'm saying? They're just like everybody else, but they're recognized leaders. They're deacons do not guide or steer or oversee the church. They're not in spiritual authority over the church. They're servants. They're recognized servants. They do not control the finances of the church. Now, of course, if a church said we want the deacons, one of their responsibilities to be, we want them to handle the finances. We want them to do that. If the church designates that as a responsibility under the elders of the church, that's fine if that's the way they want to do that. Our deacons, they manage the benevolence. So the benevolence funds that we have, when there's benevolence needs, they deal with that. They don't have to have the elder approval on that. They have oversight of that. And so they communicate and let us know what's going on, but they have oversight of that. That's a thing that's been designated to them. So again, deacons are not the church's, here's another thing, they're not the church's complaint department or customer service department. So they're not the guys, that, I mean, I promise you, there ain't one of our seven deacons that wants you to call them and gripe. They don't. Now, if there's a real need or real concern about something, sure, let them know. But they don't want gossip. In fact, I hope every deacon would go, all right, then let's go talk to that person right now. Do you want to gossip? You want to say, hey, you know that they're doing so-and-so, or they did this. Well, let's go talk to them right now. That'll fix gossip, but if there's a real issue, we can go fix the problem. Listen, if you got a problem with anybody in the church, elders, deacons, pastor, anybody, go to that person. That's the scriptural model. Now, if they won't hear you and you can't get that resolved, then get some help and some witnesses and go. That's Matthew 18. Do the biblical model. But our deacons are not the complaint department. Hello, customer service, First Baptist Geneva. Yes. Oh, man, I can't believe they did that. Okay, well, we'll get right on that. No, that's not, they don't want to hear those. They don't want to handle that kind of stuff. If you have a problem, go to the person directly. In many churches today, deacons have become, and it's because the churches have designated this, they've become pseudo-elders, right? So they function in the role without the scriptural authority to do so. I mean, I've been in churches where that was the case, where the elders were, the deacons were functioning like they were in authority of the church. And that's because that church has allowed that to happen, and it's wrong. Here's what they should do. If they want men to function in that role, then they should elect and ordain biblically qualified elders to do that. It's exactly what they should do, because they're putting on deacons something that deacons were not asked to do scripturally. They're servants. So the role of the deacon in this church is to serve. And if you know our men, that's what they do, and I'm thankful for them. They serve. We have seven men who serve and do a great job. And I'm going to ask our guys, our deacons, if they're in here, if they'll stand up. If we have any that are in here. If any of them came. Did any of them come to church today? So, all right. So we got Dennis. And we've got David Callen right here. All right. So two of our deacons. We have seven total. And man, these guys, they just serve. And if there's a need, they want to help. And I can call them anytime. They tell me all the time, if you got a need, let me know. And they'd say the same thing to you. So I want to say thank you to you guys for what you do. We appreciate you very much. How many of you knew them? How many of you knew those guys and knew they were deacons? How many of you didn't know they were, you don't know them. You didn't know them. You didn't know they were deacons. All right, a few of you. But most of you knew. So I'm glad that you know who they are, because you need to know who those deacons are so you can reach out to them. But I'm thankful for them. Now, there's also another thing with deacons. There's no job description in the scriptures. Oftentimes, because of Acts chapter 6, we say, oh, those deacons, that's the job of deacons, to see after widows. And even we take James and we go, oh, there's to oversee widows and orphans, to visit them in their need. And that's not a definition for deacons. There's nowhere in Scripture that we have a clearly defined job description that says this is what the deacon does. This right here is what he does. We've already talked about a deacon as a servant. So they serve wherever the need is, whatever needs to be done. That's the role of what the deacon is to do. And so they're going to serve under the direction and oversight of the elders. And so there are some qualifications while they're not a job description, there are qualifications. So I'm going to read those, and then we're going to be wrapped up here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 says, likewise, deacons must be reverent. Now, pay attention to these qualifications, because what it gives you an idea of is, look, this is while they're servants, they're spiritual men. These are men who are walking close with the Lord. They're spiritually mature men. And they're men of integrity and they're men of character. And so these are the qualifications if someone's going to be a deacon. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now you see there the qualifications for that. And I can't help but think right now of Fred Williams. When I think about deacons, and if you knew Fred, who just recently went home to be with the Lord, if you open up the dictionary and you look up the word deacon, in there ought to be a picture of Fred. He really was the man, he was the model of what a deacon is. And so our guys, I've heard them say it to tell Fred this. They've said to others, you know, I want to be like Fred. I want to be like Fred when I grow up, when I mature as a deacon. But there's another thing in there that's important is this, the deacon's wives. And they have an important part to play. It's not like they're called on to go paint houses or something like that. But they're supporting their husband. And it's important, the character is important there as well. And so our deacons' wives are important in that way as well. And I'm very thankful for all of them. And I see Sarah here. And Sarah was a model and has been a model deacon's wife. She had to put up with a lot of stuff. And she's talking about things where Fred would be out, man, he'd be out, he's just giving it all away. He's out doing this, and she's like, all right, now, if you did it for that person, you got to come do it for us. You got to fix our house, too. But deacon, man, he was just a deacon. And Sarah has been a model deacon's wife for years and years and years and years. And so, Sarah, I commend you as well, because it wasn't just Fred serving as a deacon. It was you serving as a deacon's wife, and I thank you for your service. Thank you for that. Praise God. All right, before I get all sappy. All right. Well, I got five more pages, but I got six more pages, but I don't think we're going to get through that. This is good the way these few weeks, because I can actually break any point in there. I didn't know how much time we'd get through this morning, but that works right there. We're going to stop right there, and next week we'll get into looking at pastor elder, the role of pastor elder in the church, and how that functions here, and how it should function in the New Testament church. All right, Father, Pastor Aaron, if you want to come. Father, again, thank you for our morning, our time together. Thank you for fixing the air. Lord, while we're grateful, we are grateful for the air. We're grateful for the comforts we have. Lord, may we not grow in a place where we just become so, we expect these things, that, Lord, we would even be mad if the air wasn't on. Lord, I pray we'd just today be grateful for all the blessings that you give us in life. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the clarity that you give us through your word. And as we've studied this topic of the church, and we're learning more and more about the church, the local New Testament church, the roles of the church, the roles within the church, membership in the church. And then, Lord, as we look at pastor elder next week, and then we get into the responsibilities of every church member, what are our responsibilities? God, would you just continue to teach us? And as we learn these things, Lord, we learn it for the purpose that we'll better know what our role is and the things that we should be doing within the church body. Because we've seen very clearly this morning that your goal in this body is that we all are working together to strengthen your body. Help us, Lord, to do that. Lord, I thank you for our deacons, their wives, their ministries here. And Lord, I thank you for every person who, while they don't wear the title of deacon, serve in that way. They serve as a diakonos. They serve you, Lord. They serve. They minister within the body. Thank you for that. Father, would you just bless now, and as we have this time of invitation, Lord, I know that as the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God is at work. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, maybe there's a prayer need on a heart. Someone may need prayer. Someone may need just to come to this altar and cast their care upon you. Someone this morning may need to get to the throne room of the Lord Jesus Christ and come in repentance and brokenness and believe by faith in Jesus for salvation. God, whatever the need is, speak to the heart. Convict the heart, draw the heart. Lord, whatever the need is in every person, I pray, God, you'll speak to us and we'll respond accordingly. Lord, move now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name we pray.